You know, something I thought, I was trying to think of what to talk about today, and I actually saw something that made me think about you and whether or not you had read this. So, you know, Hugh Darvish, I don't know if you saw what happened last night.
No.
With Hugh Darvish, but he got walked with the bases loaded.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
To walk in a run. Now, the last time this happened was in 1977.
Okay.
Of course, it was Bert Hooton. I'm pretty sure we were watching that game, and somebody in my family would have been yelling at the TV with all their might.
Sure.
But in 1971, Jim Palmer was walked twice with the bases loaded in Game 2 of the World Series.
Really?
Yeah. So that made me think. I wonder if you had read about that or...
No, and I actually put on that... I put on the radio broadcast of those games, but, you know, I was kind of doing other stuff while I was listening to them because I was already behind, so I wasn't, like, writing about them. So
right.
Those points were lost on me. How interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Let's see. The Game 2 starter, I think the Game 2 starter for Pittsburgh was Doc Ellis. So I don't know if he would have.
Palmer, they didn't say who was pitching. Now, Palmer was a decent hitter, though. Right.
The one of the things that I do know is that the Baltimore announcers constantly refer to him as the best athlete on the Oriole team. So, I mean, I don't know what they're basing that on, but it is. Yeah, he was considered kind of like this all around, stud athlete. So I don't know. I assume he was a pretty good hitter, but of course the DH is going to come in a couple seasons, so. It won't make any difference, and he spent his. I think he spent his whole career.
Well, he's
Baltimore,
still
right?
He's still just a 174 hitter, so yeah.
Yeah.
So still, there's no reason not to pitch to him.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's crazy though. He would walk twice.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is crazy. This has been a it's been the Orioles won the first two games at home, and there was this thought. The second game was just, I think it was a bloodletting. I think it was like 11-3 or something like that. But the there's like all this talk about, you know, at this point they're talking about like the Orioles being a dynasty for the 70s.
Right.
Because they've been to two straight World Series and they won one. And the Mets victory was seen as kind of a fluke. Yeah, it was 11-3 in the second game. And they like there's all these jokes about how the Orioles are going to sweep it in three games, you know, like they're going to figure out how to sweep it in three games. But then Pittsburgh came back and won three in a row in Pittsburgh, and then Baltimore had to come back and win in 10 innings in game six in Baltimore, and so now we're up to game seven back in, you know, still in Baltimore. I've watched one inning so far. It's 0-0, if you want to know. I might come out, but yeah, I was thinking about the guy. I always forget about this guy's name, Steve Blass, and you know, he's the big star for Pittsburgh in the series. He's going to win this game seven, and there'll be two wins in the series, two complete game wins, in fact, in the series. So he's the big star, and. You know, I just don't know that much about his career, but there was a guy that you guys knew a little bit in your neighborhood and that was cousins with a friend of mine in my neighborhood named Robert Brown. Remember Robert Brown?
Yeah, I know Robert, yeah.
Robert used to talk all the time about Steve Blass. He was a big Steve Blass guy. Like, he was like, you know, oh, yeah, Steve Blass. Like when we would play baseball in the neighborhood, that sort of thing. When he would pitch, he would be Steve Blass.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And the other
he was a huge baseball guy, Robert.
He was a huge baseball guy. There are certain things I remember about him, because he was the biggest baseball fan I'd ever met up until that point. And, you know, he was our age, which was, you know, he was like maybe a year older than your brother.
I was going to say, I think they may have been the same age. I can't remember, but...
Yeah, they're real close in age anyway. But in any event, he wasn't he certainly wasn't old enough to, like, you know, be as connected to that Pirates team as, you know, you would think, given, like, how much. But the other thing was, is that he, I remember I called him Roberto one time when we were playing baseball, because he was also a big Roberto Clemente fan.
Right.
And he got off stern and talked about how he didn't like to be called Roberto, that only his mother could call him Roberto, all this kind of stuff. But he was a Clemente fan, and he was a Steve Blass guy, and he was adamant that someday Cesar Cedeño would be in the Hall of Fame. Those are the three things I remember about, you know, the first big baseball fan I ever knew.
Well, you know what's funny is I don't know why, until you started writing about the series, I had never made that connection between the 71 series and the 79 series in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, same two teams.
No, I hadn't either. Yeah.
Similar, yeah, plays out in similar ways in some ways.
Yeah. A lot of the same guys. A lot of the same guys are on those teams.
it goes back to my whole theory that Earl Weaver, of course, is famous for his idea that, you know, you play for the big inning, right?
Yeah, right.
And this
right.
has essentially become the way baseball is played today. I mean, that's
yeah,
essentially the way teams
exactly.
are structured, and that's what they play for.
Mm-hmm.
And but as after watching the A's, you know, go down to the Dodgers and the Reds in the World Series with teams structured that way, I came to realize, you know, I don't really like that.
Yeah, you don't like to watch games like that. Yeah, watch a team like
well,
that.
Well, because when they're not hitting, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just there's no
They have hope. No other yeah. way to they have no other way to get runs.
Right.
Yeah, they just can't right. do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I just find it hard to watch a team like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, like Baltimore in this series, I don't know what it's going to matter. But so in this series, Baltimore is going – they have started in center field this guy named – young outfielder named Merv Ruttman, who was a backup. He was like the best – he was considered like the best fourth outfielder in baseball. And they start him in center field, and he was like a great hitter. He had hit real, I don't know what his regular season average was, but he had been a strong hitter. But the thing is that to put him in, they benched the all-star center fielder, Paul Blair. And Paul Blair, I know, was considered to be like a great fielder.
Right.
And so I'm interested to see, like, if that's going to factor at all into this Game 7 loss, you know, like if lack of coverage in center field. I don't have any idea about Merv Ruttman as a fielder. I mean, he got a fly out the first inning, but, you know, kind of a lazy fly. But I'm going to be interested to see if that comes up because Weaver has gone to, you know, a heavier hitting outfield
right.
for Game 7, and Pittsburgh has actually so Danny Murtaugh for Pittsburgh, Willie Stargell, who is the leading home run hitter of the whole season, has not been hitting particularly well in the series, and he's actually been demoted to the sixth position from cleanup for Game 7. So those are two pretty huge moves, like for Game 7,
right.
By the managers. So it's interesting, but
it's interesting what Steve Blass will do in this game. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He's been a big. There's been a big controversy in the first inning already, because the deal is that he pitches kind of off the first base side of the rubber, and Weaver has already been out a couple times from the dugout to complain that what he's doing is a couple different things. One, that he's coming off the rubber, you know, to give himself a couple inches advantage
right.
there. So he's a little bit ahead of it. But the other thing that he's doing that he says, and apparently did this in the in his previous win, is that he kind of over the course of the game dug a little bit of a hole with his shoe in the mound just off the first base side. So now he's coming in a little lower too. On, you know, it's a little lower
right.
pitch. for the hitter. So Weaver's been – Kubek was reporting from the field that that's – and the other thing is that he says he's going to his mouth too much. So who knows what's going on there. But anyway, there's all kinds of controversy already about Steve Blass here in Game 7.
I never was an Earl Weaver fan. No,
I can't, me neither. Yeah, me neither. He was too much of a crybaby for me.
Yeah, I never could stand him. You know what? The best thing about the stats from the 71 World Series is what Roberto Clemente batted. If you think about who's the best players in this World Series, like the most famous, you know, you get people like Roberto Clemente's in there. Brooks Robinson's in there. Frank Robinson's in there. Clemente batted for the series. Clemente batted .414.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's been amazing. He, over the course of his career, he's hit safely in every World Series game he's ever played.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. He's so underrated. You know,
because he died so young. I mean, you know, it's just,
well,
he just disappeared.
He died so young. But the other thing too is that the one of the things that you read constantly from the sports writers about Clemente is how he's always talking about how he's injured. If you ask him how he's doing, he's going to tell you about all these aches and pains that he has and these different things. And so he's kind of, you know, until he becomes Saint Roberto after he's killed.
Right.
He is kind of like talked about as sort of a little bit of a whiner, you know, those sorts of things.
That's interesting.
And yeah, but then if you read like the Pittsburgh people, and I've been reading the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette here at the up in lead up to this World Series, like to them, even before he died, he's the best player in baseball. You know, they are arguing that he is the best.
Right.
And I mean, I don't remember ever like dad saying that, you know, that he was even in the consideration for, you know, that sort of thought, like at a national scale.
No, I'm with you there.
But
yeah.
But he's an amazing, like his fielding is unbelievable. I mean, his arm from right field is, I mean, he's at least as good as like Cespedes. You know, and Cespedes is phenomenal. And Dave Parker. I mean, Clemente's at least as good as those guys. And those are the two best throwers in the outfield that I've ever seen, for
sure.
Well,
I think what's weird about Clemente to me is I always think of him as being a guy whose career was cut short. But he played 18 years.
Yeah. He had a long year. Yeah, he had a long career.
It's not like he died at 24, you know.
Right.
And but he has definitely, I mean, you hear people talk about him of a certain age. But, yeah I'm kind of like you. Outside of that, I don't know.
Yeah. I think in a weird way, the fact that he was on this humanitarian mission and that was such a huge, you know, the whole St. Roberto thing, that has sort of eclipsed him as a baseball player. And he's kind of like, you know, doesn't even get into the conversation about, you know, the best players of his era. You know, because it's kind of, there's some thought that, I think to some degree, there's some thought that his, you know, that he's been elevated since his death, you know, but I actually think the opposite's true. I think that I didn't quite realize until following the season, no, he's really great. I mean, he's like really great.
Well, and he's doing this at 30. How old is he? He's like 36.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And and like, you know, I mean, your point about 79. You know, it's interesting too to think about. Here we are. We're going to go a whole decade, and these teams are, you know, these two teams are going to be also, you know, they're going to be the second place teams in their leagues basically for the whole decade, or a lot of the seasons, and. And then at the end, you know, Stargell in 79 is such a clutch, is such a clutch player and kind of has this like persona of like, you know, he's called Pops. I mean, he's the grand old man,
right.
You know, he kind of has that moment that Clemente
didn't get,
you know,
to have.
Not so much, you know, he kind of has that moment and here he is, he's being demoted and, the seventh game, you know, but being, you know, knocked down in the batting order. That's, you know.
So according to WAR, right?
Yeah.
The statistic WAR, which is kind of used now as the, you know, how we rate who's the greatest player and all that stuff. Clemente's the 39th best player of all time.
Okay. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge.
That's not bad.
That's pretty huge. Yeah. That's pretty huge. So I saw, okay, so another thing that I was thinking about in seeing the series, I always do think about Boog Powell, you know, and Boog Powell is such a huge, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's in those commercials.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and he's got such, you know, I wrote about this at the HP over the summer in the middle of the year. Like, the sports writers just love Boog Powell. I mean, Sports Illustrated this summer of 1971 printed an entire...
They like talkers,
music.
Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and he looked good. You know, like, he looked like Babe Ruth. He wore those high, you know, he and Frank Howard would wear those short sleeves, and so they showed off their biceps.
Right.
And he, you know, his body type, he was hefty. And Sports Illustrated printed an entire musical, you know, about Boog Powell that had been written about him. He was coming off his MVP season and that sort of thing. And it just makes me think about when I was in Washington in the hotel room this weekend, I was watching this movie, you know, the pre-HBO or whatever. And I was watching this movie there's this joke about there's two guys in a nursing home, and one of them is talking about how great Babe Ruth is, and the other one's talking about how, you know, Babe Ruth would barely make a team if he was playing with the African Americans and all the Latino guys,
right?
You know, in baseball and back and forth. And it made me think about, like, I wonder if Babe Ruth would have had, like, Boog Powell's career, you know, had he played at a time when maybe middle infielding had become much better, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it was kind of you know, it's just kind of fun to think about that stuff and what that's about. But the movie was pretty funny about that. It was over the top, but it was cute.
No, Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah, well, that's what the other guy in the nursing home was saying. He was saying that's idiotic.
That's just where we are. I mean,
yeah. Oh, man.
Ruth's a weird one. I think what makes him so weird is the fact that, and why I think why nobody can ever not be Ruth is he was a great pitcher. I mean, he wasn't an average pitcher.
Yeah, no.
You know, he was like a really, really good pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, for a long time, he held like the record, some kind of postseason record in pitching. I mean, he's a weird, weird career, you know, say the least. But
yeah.
I think that's the thing that kind of makes him just odd. You know, it's like,
so
you can't, nobody else is ever going to be able to do that. You know,
right,
that's never going to happen.
It's not
again.
Even on the table. Right. So are you still looking at the WAR list? Is Ruth number one of all time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and it's mostly because he gets a huge boost from pitching. So his offensive offensively, he's the best WAR of all time. He's 163.1, right? And Barry Bonds is really close. He's 162.4.
Hmm.
They both played 22 years, you know, all that stuff. But when you add in Ruth's pitching, it pushes his WAR up to 183.7. So that's why I say, like, you can't – who's going to get an extra 20 points?
Yeah.
You know, from a pitching career. So, yeah. But it's just kind of weird. I mean –
it is weird.
So
I wonder if there. I mean, my guess is that there are guys who could do it if given, you know, if baseball was structured in such a way.
I wonder. I mean, today the way players at such a young age sort of focus in on, you're a pitcher now, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. But, you know, you look at a guy like Clemens, I mean, who knows? Maybe he could have been a good hitter.
Yeah, well, and a lot of guys switch in the minors. I mean, you get a lot of, you know, go...
they'll leave pitching
anyway,
and go to... Right.
Yeah, or the other direction, actually. So, Sean Doolittle was some kind of fielder. But he played in the field before he became a pitcher in the minors. And he's been, I mean, you know, he hasn't been one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but he's had a very successful career. So...
So, yeah, in our lifetime, there are two guys who are top 10 all-time WAR, right? That, who knows if they'll ever make the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. So it's Bonds. It's Bonds. Who's the other one?
And Clemens. Clemens is eighth. Bonds is fourth.
Eventually. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, what's your take on this whole, on the whole Hall of Fame thing and whether or not they should be in? And I don't think you and I have even ever talked about that.
I don't think we have either. I don't know. You know, I don't really, you know, it seems such jerks to me, but I didn't care if they got in or not. But and they always played against teams I was rooting for.
I never could stand Clemens when he was in college. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, they're probably, and that's probably just silly. I mean, they're probably as fine as anybody else, but I don't know. I think they definitely will get in eventually, but I suspect they'll be punished for a while longer. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't see any reason not to put them in.
Yeah.
Especially Bonds. You know, everybody believes that Bonds doped.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been proof.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I remember. I mean,
I think that's correct.
You know, he would have been in the Hall of Fame if he had never doped. I mean, he was a great player. I just don't see the point. You know, it's like taking the Tour de France away from Lance Armstrong. It makes no sense to me. He won them. Everybody was doping.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you think the guy who came in second or third, you think they weren't doping? Yeah. Of course they were doping.
Yeah.
Everybody was doping. I mean,
yeah.
You know, yeah, did Bonds dope? Yeah, of course he did. We all believe that.
Right.
But so is everybody else at the time. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know. You know, so. I guess I don't go that far. I mean, I guess I don't think that, you know, I don't give him such a pass. I'd probably vote him in, but I'd probably, you know, do some kind of asterisk thing. You know, I'd probably...
But I'm okay with that if they want to say, this.
In the description, I'd say something about, you know, that the era was, the numbers were inflated or something like, you know, the numbers, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how I'd write it, but in any event, I would put that as part of the story. But
sure, I think you have to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But you can't just ignore it. It's not like a 10-year stretch or 20-year stretch didn't happen. I mean, it did.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it's definitely helped by the fact that, you know, they went from a dead ball to an overly lively ball. And he was helped by the fact that he was hitting during a time when pitchers had not adjusted yet to the fact that we're not throwing a dead ball anymore. You know?
Well, and, you know, not all of the nation's best baseball players were in the league.
That's right.
You know, he was playing in a watered down league.
Right.
So, so that's kind of what I think. I think each era probably, you know, whether it's been uncovered or not, I suspect that each era of baseball probably has its own talk, in some regard. And that to some extent, then you can look at, you know, you could look at things like, what do you do with, you know, you could look at with some skepticism about anything, about any of the statistics. And, you know, either because he created it or just benefited from it, you know, Ricky Henderson played during a time when the stolen base was seen as a much more valuable weapon than it is now and was at previous times, you know. And so he's got this tremendous, you know, huge career record
Well, and he was lucky, too. He had managers who actually wanted him to steal bases, yeah.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but you know, I don't know what Lou Brock's deal, you know, like Red Shandy's thought of the, you know, how often he was willing to let Lou Brock steal and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying, is that each era has its own kind of its own peculiarities that have to be, you know, that maybe need to be addressed. The other thing too is it's not like, you know, it's just the Hall of Fame. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
like, I think, no, it's not. Yeah, no, I'm with. Yeah, exactly.
It's just the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's not like they don't have to pay taxes the rest of their life or something like that. You know, or like we're giving them.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I'm with you 100%. Yeah,
I think it's a little bit like, you know, a little bit trying to exert what power we have over that sort of stuff.
I think it's silly. I mean, these guys were the best.
That's kind of what I think, too. Right.
They were the best players during their time.
So you'd put in Pete Rose, too, then, right?
Yeah, I think there's no reason not to. He can be banned from baseball. The Hall of Fame is not baseball.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too.
You know, the Hall of Fame is a Hall of Fame. It's not Major League Baseball. So, yeah. I would put him in. I don't see any reason not
to. Yeah, that seems like a good position. There you go. I agree with you. Yeah. That's a perfectly good position. Yeah, I would put him in the Hall of Fame, and I probably wouldn't hire him.
I would not. Look, Pete Rose being banned from baseball, I think that makes perfect sense. Yeah. The guy bet on the game. He bet on a game that he was managing. Like, you can't.
Right.
Like, that's the one thing in baseball that you cannot do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but baseball, I think more than anything, just because of the whole Black Sox scandal, like you just can't do
it. Yeah, there is even a more,
you know, and
so,
and I'm, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, it's interesting though. You talked about Lou Brock and Ricky Henderson. I don't know enough about how war and stuff works. But I've always known that Ricky Henderson is rated really high.
Yeah.
Like he's, including pitchers and hitters, he's 19th in WAR, right? Which is really high. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Where Lou Brock is like 385th or something like that. But
Henderson is the most, like when it comes up, I mean, for me, Henderson is the best player that I've ever seen. I mean, just because he changed, I mean, he really did, like, you know, when he was on the field.
He was so
good. It really changed things. I mean, it made baseball a different game. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, those first 10 years, he was just phenomenal to me.
Yeah.
But he was fun to watch. You know, he became a power hitter, you know, much more of a power hitter.
Yeah, I know.
As he got older.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He was fun to watch.
Hmm.
The days of baseball, which I don't watch anymore, so.
Yeah, well, it's boring. It's boring to watch, but I'll tell you what, it's fun to follow. I mean, I follow what's, you know, who's doing what, and it's fun to do that. I love hearing about
it. I don't know that any sport is more intense, like if it's your team and you're really into it, than baseball.
Yeah.
Just because every pitch has so much riding on it.
Oh.
You know.
Remember when I got so into that horrible A season a couple of years ago where they traded
stuff.
I mean, I was following every pitch that season, and it was just overwhelming. I certainly have not bounced back from that. I mean, there's been no need to, as an A's fan. There has been no need
to bounce back from that.
Yeah, it was just a total. I want them to make Moneyball 2 now about this era. You know, I think that would be a great movie. About, like, and I would have it start, like, the day of that trade.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
I'd get Brad Pitt back. You know, And I don't, it doesn't even have to be, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it could be as tied to reality as Moneyball was to the reality of Billy Beane.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't have to be more than that. But this, like, you know, now, like, this colossal wrong move, you know. And but you put all the chips in. You know, I still think that was I thought it was the right move, and it turned out to be the wrong move. But I thought it was the right move. I mean, the A's.
Well, I don't think anybody understood. I don't think anybody understood what Cespedes actually meant.
Right, right. And I think that that's what's become revealed. But there was no way of knowing that. No one quite understood that.
But you know what's funny, Eric? And maybe they would have made that run that year with Cespedes, and maybe they would have won it all. Who knows what would have happened? But, you know, it's odd, too, because – and I don't even remember now who they got for Cespedes, but
– John Lester. Yeah.
You know, he's – oh, that's right. But, you know, Cespedes has had such a flaky career since then, too.
Oh, he had had a flaky career before then.
You know,
if right. you followed him every pitch – if you followed him every pitch, that was what was crazy, is that, you know, it was a flaky career before. But, I mean, he's just, you know, he's right. This is the A's. I mean, they, you know, it's crazy how history repeats itself. I mean, he was Reggie Jackson, it turns out, you know?
Yeah.
Except a better fielder and not as much of a, you know, kind of a, maybe because of the language barrier or whatever, but not as much of a
star. The only thing I'd say about Jackson is Jackson could stay healthy. You know, Cespedes, as it's turned out, like, he can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that would be a – I still think it was the right move. And, you know, he tried to go for a World Series win, and it just blew up in his face. But that'd be a great movie.
No, that would be a good
Moneyball
movie.
Moneyball's a great movie. Yeah.
That would be a good movie.
No, anything Brad Pitt's in is great. So.
Well, you know what's funny? I was looking at his numbers from that year, and it's funny because you look at his numbers from that year, and he was batting. So he played 101 games for the A's before they traded him. He was batting .256, but he had 67 RBIs, which is a good amount, before they traded him. And you would look at that guy and you would think, well, yeah, you know, I mean,
yeah,
he's yeah, you know, we need him, he's important, but yeah, you know, he ain't all that, right? I mean,
yeah,
but the problem, you know what's funny, Eric, when you look across that roster from that year, and I don't know if, of course, they all just fell off a cliff at a certain point in the season, but you know, their leading hitter that year as a starter was batted .270. I mean, you can't, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It all just kind of fell apart for them. But.
So, I'm trying to look this up on the fly.
It's funny, too, because all these guys like Sonny Gray, Sean Doolittle, John Lester, at least those guys all were in the playoffs this year. Right, with other teams.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
I'm trying to look up. His nickname is like.
Didn't Otero pitch in for somebody? Wasn't he in the playoffs too this year?
I kind of lost it. Anyway, it's like the potency or something like that. But anyway, yeah, Cespedes. Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of a magical player, and yeah, you can't. I don't know why, but it was like when they traded him, then all of those hitters that were in the middle of the lineup around him, you know, the pitching to them obviously changed.
Right.
I mean, and yeah, they just weren't the same thing. But oh, baseball is just so intense, though, and then I find it. You know, it's a great sport if you're not really following the team. It's a great sport to kind of follow day by day by just looking at the standings and kind of, you know, like listening to the Kornheiser show and hearing about the Nats, you know. Like,
yeah. It's also a game you can just throw in the background and let play.
Exactly.
You know, it's harder to do that with, I think, with other things.
Most any other. Yeah. Yep.
All right, well, I guess I'll talk to you later. Have fun.
Podcast. Did the phone call, does it seem to have worked?
I guess we'll find out.
It's just amazing.
I'll stop the recording.
I get it. I mean, it's incredible how quickly, I'm on my cell phone and I get your text with a number to dial in, and I can just put, I can just touch the number and it dials it. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing how quickly that's changed.
Technology is cool.
It is cool. I mean, our lives have just changed so fast.
I'm working on this big ice castles, entry.
Oh, yeah,
for the
I gotta look
buzz.
Up your ice castle.
I couldn't find it. I was looking through archives of my own. I couldn't find
it. No, I don't think it's on there. Yeah, I'm pretty certain it's never been a thing. Because then I remember I watched the movie just to be able to comment on it with you. Yeah, here we go. It looks like it was April of 2010.
Okay. So that would have been before.
I'll chase it down, yeah.
Yeah, send me that stuff.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's kind of sad for that French girl who completely falls apart. Okay. Yeah, I'll send you all that stuff. That'd be great. I can't wait to read that post.
I got to thinking about that this week with all the sexism stuff going on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I know, it's a weird. Any thoughts on music for the week? Anything going on that makes you think of anything in particular this week?
No.
Yeah, same here.
No, I got nothing.
Same here.
Yeah, I got nothing. All right.
All right. I'll talk
Good
to you
luck.
Soon. Okay.
See ya.
Bye.